The world's most famous set of awards are the Nobel Prizes. They are presented to outstanding, for people who have outstanding achievement in the sciences, in peace, in literature, and so forth. Well, they were created by Alfred Bernard Nobel. He was a Swedish chemist, an engineer, and an armament manufacturer. He lived in the second half of the 1800s and amassed great wealth by one of his inventions. He invented dynamite. That's how he made his fortune. What motivated him to create the awards, the Nobel Awards? Well, it was a chance event. His brother died, and a local newspaper published an obituary, but mistakenly thought that Albert had died. And so, Mr. Nobel had the chance to read his obituary while still alive. What did he say? They called him the merchant of death, criticizing the fact that he had made a fortune by making it easy to kill people. He did not want to be remembered that way. And so he decided to change. And he set aside, if I'm not mistaken, it was about $200 million worth to establish the endowment fund for the Nobel Prizes. He had a second chance, and he took it. Let me share another story about second chances. This has to do with art. It's about Michelangelo's David, the gorgeous statue of a masterpiece of Renaissance sculpture that is kept now in Galleria dell'Accademia in Florence, Firenze. Well, the story begins before Michelangelo got involved. The cathedral of Firenze, of Florence, the operai, as they were called, the overseers of the cathedral, decided to commission 12 statues, big statues of figures from the Old Testament. And they entrusted the statue of David to Antonino di Duccio, Agostino Antonino di Duccio, a famous sculptor of the time. They bought a very expensive marble block from Carrara, the best quality marble, and he began working on it. But he had just started working on the legs of the statue of David when he quit, claiming that the marble was not as perfect as he wanted it. That marble block was abandoned for over 25 years and left exposed to the elements in the cathedral's workshop area until in, I believe, 1501. Once again, the cathedral began looking for someone to complete the job. They considered various artists, including Leonardo da Vinci, but finally they gave the commission to Michelangelo, who at that time was only in his 20s. And he worked on it and produced the masterpiece that we know, the statue of David. Once again, that block of marble had a second chance, and Michelangelo made it count. Well, I believe that today's reading revealed to us that God also is a God who loves second chances. He gives us a second chance. We see this clearly in the parable of the fig tree that had been cultivated carefully for 3 years and yet did not produce any fruit. The owner decided to cut it down. But the gardener pleaded for a second chance. Let me work on it some more. I'll cultivate the ground. I'll fertilize it. God does not cut down those who are not producing fruits, the fruits he expects from them. God is not impatient. God is not vindictive. We were singing it beautifully in the responsorial psalm. God is kind and merciful, slow to anger, rich in kindness. God does not punish those who do not bear fruit. This is a theory, or a doctrine if you want. It's called the doctrine of the retribution, that was very popular in the Old Testament and believed by many Jews at the time of Jesus. What does it mean? It means that God punishes evil and rewards goodness. However, this doctrine creates a dilemma. How about the righteous one who suffer? And how about the wicked who prosper? So they present to Jesus this dilemma. They ask him about those who were killed by Pilate as they were offering their sacrifice. They were massacred. Were they paying for some sin? Either their sins or their ancestors' guilt? Jesus says, no, by no means. What people suffer, the tragedies we suffer, are not God's punishment. That's not the way God is. And Jesus brings up another example. Those who were crushed by a crumbling tower in Siloam, 18 people crushed to death, did they deserve it? Jesus answers, no. That's not the way God acts. He does not, once again, cut down the tree that is not bearing fruit. Instead, he cultivates it. He gives it time to become productive, to turn around, to change. However, the parable ends by saying, if in 1 year the fig tree still is not producing figs, then we will cut it down. In other words, there is always, always a moment of no return. There's a Spanish proverb that goes like this: Dios consciente, mas no para siempre. God is patient, but not forever. So Jesus' parable urges us to, yes, believe that God is merciful, that God is a God of second chances. But we are mortals. Therefore, our time is limited. There will be a time when it all comes to an end. It's like a potter who is working on clay and keeps shaping and reshaping, and if he makes a mistake, he can always correct it as long as the clay is supple and moist. But there is a moment when the clay has to go into the oven. That's it, there's no more reshaping there. It's final. So take the second chances God gives you and make them count. Paul, in today's second reading, says that the people of Israel had 40 years enjoying God's care. God guided them with a cloud, fed them with manna, gave them water from the rock. But at the end of the 40 years, some of them did not make it to the promised land because they had not taken advantage of the time of conversion. So we are invited to take advantage of the second, third, fourth chances that the Lord gives us and make them count. The Lord is kind and merciful. We are celebrating the year of mercy, and it's beautiful to remember that God is patient, but we are limited. We are mortals. We don't have all of eternity to change.